Modern Casserole is a podcast of three hungry women. We met working at a food magazine, and each week we talk about food, culture, what we cooked, and what we ate in San Diego and beyond. I'm Olivia, and this is Modern Casserole. Welcome back. It is episode 10. It's our final episode of season one, guys. Are you excited?
Wow, I can't believe it. It's gone so fast.
I know. It flew by, and I know we've been super busy these days, but these sessions that we get together and chat are always so exciting to, you know, hear what you guys are up to. And Maria, you're just starting to tell us about going out to eat recently, so I thought we'd kind of throw it to you to get us going this morning.
Yeah, so I went to my favorite neighborhood Vietnamese spot that's near me here in San Diego. It's called Banh Mi Hoi An. And he has this meatball that I crave on a regular basis. He's originally from Dalat. His name is Dewey, the owner. And this meatball he serves in a small bowl. The meatball like fills up the bowl with this delicious sauce. And the meatball is really tender. I think he said it's a mix of beef and pork, and then he serves it with a fresh loaf of French baguette, like your own personal French baguette. And you get these fresh veggies, cilantro.
What kind of sauce? You said it's sitting in. Is it like a tomato based sauce?
Like a tomato based sauce. I just started, you know, kind of researching it myself because I'm interested in it. Dewey is from Dalat, so this is a popular Vietnamese street food that has now been more, I guess, nationally popularized through Vietnam or throughout Vietnam. You can find these meatballs, but he says it started, you know, with one person in the city who started selling this on a street corner, and it's like the staple breakfast there. So even when you Google Dalat Vietnam, it comes up with all these Vietnamese pork meatballs and what to have for breakfast in Vietnam. But anyways, I crave this meatball. Whenever anybody's talking about this little restaurant, I'm always like, get the meatball, because it's so good, and I've never had anything like it. And they do have patio dining, and they have also lovely boba smoothies. So maybe we should have a date there, ladies.
I've actually been there once before, and what I liked about it, the prices were fantastic. Food was phenomenal. And it does have this really cute little patio, so I'm down for having there.
I mean, it's not
the
fancy.
Is it a smoothie with boba added in, or do they blend up the boba?
You can get one or the other, I guess. No, they don't blend up the boba, but you can add the boba in. So once they make the smoothie, they add it, and then
So it's not like the tea. You know, there's like the milk tea boba, and then there's ones that are smoothies. I'm familiar with the smoothie ones too. I grew up eating those.
They're very sweet. Like we love the taro one, and it's purple, and it, of course, you know, lovely flavor.
Do they have an avocado one on there? I always remember growing up going to a boba shop and just being so enamored with the fact that there was an avocado smoothie.
I never had it
because I was not sure what that would be like, but it's obviously sweetened. It's just kind of creamy and probably has that little avocado flavor.
The
color is really pretty.
Maybe they do, and I just haven't looked for it because we just always get the taro one. But it's really good. They have good stuff there. They also have this chicken curry soup. So it's like you get this massive bowl of chicken curry stew with a baguette, your own personal baguette. And I think it's like $10. And he's also apparently known for his Philly cheesesteak sandwiches. Go figure.
Oh, I like that.
I know.
That's cool.
I love that.
Have you ordered that one or just you stick to the meatball?
I stick to the meatball because, you know, when I go, it's like, I want that meatball. I've been craving it for 3 months thinking about this meatball. And it's huge. I ate half of it. I still have half in the fridge. It's a big meatball.
Oh, nice.
Love a big meatball.
Yeah. Yeah. I went out for something different. Like, I know I kind of am a creature of habit. Usually I'm going out for something very specific that I want, and I'm going for that. This week, this past Friday, went out for something I had seen that was new, and I came across it. I think I was doing a little research for Tariq. I was like, I don't know why I was researching it, but it popped in my head and I jumped on Google, and for some reason Tariq in San Diego came up, and I was like, you know what, actually I'm kind of curious, like around town, like of the Persian restaurants that we have, like who's offering it, and like, you know, can you go and have one of those beautiful spreads? Like I'm kind of picturing the beautiful ones that you're always putting together, Felicia. And I was like, where can I go and get myself that without having to do all the legwork or bother you, you know, to go pick it up from your house or something like that? And I came across basically like a pop-up called, you can find them on Instagram, called Eat Tadit. And this is lovely woman. She's like making every week something she's calling Persian tacos. Which again, I was like, this is so crazy. Like I had no idea what I was like looking up. And before I knew it, I was like in this rabbit hole of like, I have to have it. I don't know exactly what it is, but I need it. So it turns out it is bread tadik, which I had learned about through you, Felicia, like what that is. It's like a layer, like a, is it lavash or what type of bread is that that
lavash. You put
at the bottom? Mm-hmm. So it's like a thin, you know, not like a puffy bread, right? It's very like a flat bread, but soft.
It's the flattest of the flat breads. Yeah, it's super, super thin and not particularly soft, which is why I've never been as fond of it. But then I discovered, you know, through Methi, basically frying it for this tadik, and oh my gosh, it just is perfect like that.
Yeah, I could definitely see like how she thought, you know, oh, it would be a really good base for kind of making this taco type dish out of, you know, more traditional Persian flavors and ingredients. So it starts like she's using like a small tray where she builds the layer of the fried bread with the rice on the top, and then that's cooked and gets crispy. So it creates like a shell that she then folds over, and then inside she's putting beautiful like Persian stews. This one was like a beef stew. It had some Persian lime flavor, you know, in there, and it was really satisfying. It had these little crispy potato string, like almost kind of like a matchstick potato. And what would you call that, Felicia? Those pieces, the potato.
Oh well, it's usually just little thin fried potato that they put on top of gaimai, which is a lentil in either beef or lamb stew with the black lime. And it adds kind of like a nice salty crunch on top. But what a lot of places do, and what I do now too, actually, just because it's so much easier, is you can buy these big like cylinder cans of the, they call them picnic fried potato sticks. And I mean, so much easier. You just pull out a handful and throw them on there.
I realize I've seen those at the Middle Eastern markets, the Persian markets. And then I always thought it was just like French fries, like just like, you know, a canned French fry. And now it makes so much more sense. That's a really a cool thought to think like, it's like our, what are those crispy onions that we have like for our
like French onions. Fried onions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, exactly. You know, but like potato. So she had those on there as well. And, again, I wasn't as familiar as you are with all these different components, but it was really cool to see it all kind of come together in this interpretation and putting the name, you know, Persian tacos with it. I think it was a kind of fun, like Southern California nod. From what I can see, she's like this like really cool, like rollerblader or not rollerblader, sorry, like roller skater. Really cute. And she would like come around to each of the tables and like deliver this beautiful creation, and it was great. It sounds exactly what you were describing, this beef lentil stew with the potato on top, and it was great. You don't pick it up. I will say it's not a taco in the traditional sense that you like are able to pick up the dish, but you have like a little fork and knife and you kind of break off little crunchy pieces and kind of pile it up. I'd almost like want to think of it like as a nacho, because you're kind of like, you know, making these little bites with these crispy, with the crispy tadik.
Well, did she have like Shirazi salad instead of pico de gallo?
I would say that for me was the only thing that was missing, was that kind of bright hit of something like herbaceous, like you're saying, like an herb salad would be actually like the perfect way to think of like, instead of a pico de gallo, doing a like kind of like a more acidic salad to kind of balance out all the richer flavors. So, and you know, it's a pop-up, so she doesn't have everything probably at her disposal to serve, because it was at, it's a place called Poor House Brewery in North Park. And every night they have a different vendor that's serving food so that they can continue to stay open With, you know, with the restrictions that we have currently. And some nights they have lumpia, I've seen. They have, you know, Mexican food other nights. And then I thought this was really cool to see something so unusual, which was, you know, kind of like a street food version of Persian dishes that you would probably traditionally see in a very different context. So,
Definitely.
yeah.
That's so fun. That's so creative.
Lavash, how do you ladies eat it? Because I was at the grocery store the other day, kind of randomly, and found that they recently started carrying one of my favorite grocery store versions of lavash, and they're massive, of course, and they're so good. I just probably don't eat it the right way. I just really am ambitious to eat the lavash, and I just smeared a bunch of butter on it and chowed down. But what else do you ladies do with it that you enjoy?
Matthew just likes it, especially if it's pretty fresh, just with like a handful of fresh herbs and some feta cheese, just rolling it up and eating it that way. Or actually, when we all get together for a barbecue, we like to make these really saucy kebabs, like where you make the kebab and then on a different plate you have a mashed tomato and garlic and chilies, and then you throw the kebab in there in that nice rich sauce, and then just pick up the whole thing and shove it inside some lavash and kind of roll it up and get it a little bit crispy on the grill. So it's like a
I'm
very
dying. That
delicious
sounds
sandwich.
so good.
That's the menu for our upcoming barbecue.
That sounds
So
great. It's
it'll
my
be
favorite
good.
part. My favorite part of going, we have at North Park Produce in Poway, when we go to the grill side of, they have like the restaurant side to the grocery, and that's my favorite thing about getting like a Kubiday like plate, is they put a layer of lavash underneath, so all the juices and all the like dress, everything gets, you know, soaked into the bread, and that bread is like, you know, I'm
Do
like
they
eyeing other
use
people's.
lavash or sangak?
What would be the difference? How would I
Is the sangak
know?
thicker? Is that like the
It's
bread
a
we had at
little bit,
Sare?
yeah, it's a little bit thicker. It's got like nigella seeds and sesame seeds on it. It's a little bit dimpled because they press it with their fingers and then throw it in the oven, or sometimes they even cook it on top of like small pebbles, although they usually don't do that here. And the lavash is just, I mean, paper
Paper
thin,
thin. Okay, so I
like
would say it's
about
the other
the
one.
width of a tortilla.
Okay, I would say it was the sangak. How do you say that again?
Sangak.
Sangak. Yes, I would say it would be
Yeah.
that one. But I guess in my mind, I because they're so flat that I'm thinking that they're the same. But in any case, anything where it's soaking up all the juices and things,
What
like,
even have
it's
a
just the
special
best.
name for that
Oh yeah?
in Farsi, and I don't know the Farsi for it, but the translation to me, it's hilarious. They call it the bride's sister. Because it's so, like, you know how the bride is so happy and her happiness overflows onto her sisters. So this is like
Oh.
all the good stuff from the kebab is spilling out over the bread, and the bread is
That's
soaking it up.
cute.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. I'm like, all right, I want the sister bread.
The sister bread.
Share.
Yeah, it's great.
I
Yeah.
remember you
I'm
telling
more
us that.
familiar with laffa, which is I are you do you know that term,
Not at
Felicia?
all. What's that?
So in Israel, when you're going to like a shawarma or falafel stand, you either get in a pita or you get in a laffa. And the laffa is, I the only way to like, you know, give a something similar would be like almost like the equivalent of like a tortilla type thing, because they actually wrap it up. They wrap the falafel, they wrap the shawarma, and it looks honestly like a burrito. Like that's been the
Yes.
fun, the most exciting thing when we moved to the States and I was introducing Shai to like Mexican food. You know, he'd bite into a burrito and be like, this is like a shawarma, like, you know, laffa. And I was like, oh my God, like you're so right. And so they're usually like the bigger option. Like if you go and get the
Yeah.
pita, that's like the small. And if you really want to eat, you're going to get the laffa. And I would say the difference between with a laffa wrap and like a burrito is it's not usually closed on both ends. It's wrapped up where like only the bottom, you know, is completely enclosed, and then the top is kind of left open, you know.
I think
So.
we see that too, and I think they usually call it saj.
Saj,
Saj bread, mm-hmm. Is what they call it in other parts of the Middle East. But same exact thing, mm-hmm. the bigger option wrapped up. And
yeah,
that has actually caused many problems for Methi and I when we're ordering. We actually found a pretty good falafel shop up in like Rancho Bernardo, like somewhere kind of random. And they're Israelis. And I knew that because they have sabich on the menu. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. This is going to be good.
Which this is, gonna be is this Pita 22 by chance?
Yeah, or? It is. Okay.
We were just talking about we have to go. We've been hearing all of our family's been saying, you have to go. It's Israeli food, blah, blah, blah.
It's and, good. Ooh, it's oh, good. I mean, actually, the sides, we ordered like an insane amount of food for two people. Mm-hmm. Because their dips were okay. Mm-hmm. They were okay. But the falafel was, it was pretty darn good. Mm. I was happy. I did have to add more of my own pickles at home because there weren't enough pickles for me.
There's never enough pickles, let's be honest.
Exactly. Well, the problem we ran into, Matthew was like, I'm hungry. I need two sandwiches. I don't need this small sandwich. And I'll always ask people like, is it the small one or the big one? There is no small or big in this country. Mm-hmm. They're all going to be the same size. And this one was not in Saj. It was in a pita, but they make their own pita, which were fluffy and quite mm-hmm. nice. And you know how they do. They just trim the top off and then stuff yeah. it. But these were monstrously huge sandwiches. So he got two, and obviously we could not finish them. and so we had a lot of leftovers. So we were just kind of like eating our way through this massive pile of food for an entire day. But it was good.
I'm most excited to try the sabich, like you're saying, like with the fried eggplant.
The fried eggplant. I got a side of the fried eggplant, and it was mm-hmm. quite very, very oily, but delicious.
Yeah.
And then their baba ganoush was really good too. It was very it was very chunky. It wasn't so mashed, mm-hmm. which I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah, there's a different. I guess it's called. They always call it like eggplant. Mayonnaise in Israel, there's like another version that it's smoky, but it is a little bit, the texture is always different. It's like even creamier. I don't think that there's necessarily a mayonnaise in it. There could be, but maybe it's kind of that kind of take on it.
Well,
or something.
I am dying to hear what you think of Pita 22, because I mean, we've had a really hard time finding a good falafel in this town, mm-hmm. and it won't be as good as what you had in Israel, I'm sure of it, but this it's pretty darn good.
The closest.
I mean, it's the best one we've found so far. I'd definitely have it again.
Yeah. Well, that's great because, like I said, when I was looking into them, it is an Israeli family that owns this place, and he, I guess, has a long history of the restaurant world, but this is like their first foray into actually like doing Israeli food, which, you know, is probably exciting for them. You know, they probably were cooking this at home all the time and were finally like, let's do this at the restaurant. So I definitely want to check it out for those pita. I will keep you posted.
When you were talking about the sister bread, it reminded me of Sarre in El Cajon. And I want to go back there because you told us about the sister bread there. What kind of bread is that?
That
they make at Sarre.
Oh man! Well, I think what they gave us, they did in a tandoor, and they call it tandoor mm-hmm. bread, the round ones. Okay. But the really thin one, the puffed up that they used to do, I can't remember which one we had when we were there because the chef kind of changed.
It's the thicker one.
A little thicker, right? Yeah, that's the tandoor mm-hmm. bread. And they take the rounds of dough and they slap it on the inside of a really hot clay oven. Which is just kind of a round cylinder that's blazing hot. And then they took their little hooks and pull it off the side when it's ready. And that's Iraqi bread.
I love
bread.
That.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was really good.
I loved it. And I loved it when the kebab juice just like, I don't know.
Gotta love kebab juice. So, and it's butter. I mean, what they do is when the kebab comes off the grill and they put it on the bread, because, you know, it's already the fattiest cut of meat in the world, they also take a little basting brush and just put drawn butter over the top. Because why not? Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that too. It's funny because, like, in Israel, we wouldn't do that because it's not like traditionally a kosher thing to have
butter right.
with meat. Mm-hmm. Right. So I've always found that very interesting, like looking at like Persian food or just other Middle Eastern foods and how the Sephardic like community, which is like the Jewish community that came from those different Arab countries, how things were adapted around around that, because like even with like halal, you know, or dietary laws within Islam, right? You can eat like shellfish, and you can eat other things that we don't eat like in kosher dietary law. But the one thing that's for sure in common is the no yeah. pork thing, right? So I think that's really interesting. Like some of the spots like really like separate, and some are like really like that is so like similar. The thing.
Yeah, that is, so and then similar. Blessing the meat, you know, like the yes. way you slaughter yes. the animal,
exactly,
and is very specific to both.
Yeah. Yeah. And something else I was thinking, like we were talking about, like, you know, sopping up all the juices with different breads for these different cuisines. Like even in Italian food, I feel like for me that my favorite thing is at the end, like, you know, if you have like a pasta dish or something that's a really great gravy or sauce or something, you've got that little bit of bread on the table and you scrape up every last
yes.
bit. And there's of course, I think there's a word
my
for
that.
My
mom always calls it bottom boost. Although who freaking knows? Because my Italian grandmother, she just made up so many words that I used to say all kinds of stuff that I thought were Italian, but no, she had just like literally made up her own words. And that might've been
in my head.
I don't know.
It fits. Cause it makes me feel like you would say that like bada booze, yeah. like yeah. bada bing, bada booze. But I also, I think there's something, I think it's like scarpetto, which I think means little shoe. Like the Italians will call it like a scarpetto. Cause you're
is
like,
take, the heel
it's like
of the
a
bread?
Shoe that you're, just even like you're scraping, like oh. sliding a foot. I think we're going to have to put in the show notes. Let's just say we're going to find out the real deal there. But the point, I guess, of what we're trying to say is how delicious every last bit is of a dish, that you want the bread to get it. And what I think is great in this Persian food that we're talking about, they already are anticipating catching all the delicious
exactly.
things. So they're like, we're just going to put a little insurance policy down there. And make sure,
exactly.
you know, you get every little drop.
Well, and
so,
have like you guys
cloth.
Heard of
a tablecloth.
Persian macaroni?
No.
Okay, so this is kind of a marriage of everything we've been talking about. It is pasta made with tadik. Oh, ooh. Yeah. You can tadik anything. That's what I'm learning. Like, the bread tadik has been my current project, and I finally figured out how to do that without burning it. And it requires a lot of olive oil and that lavash and then mashing rice on top of it and then very specific cooking times. The rice tadik, the crisping part where it's over high heat, just to give you kind of an idea, about 11 to 13 minutes to get it crispy. The bread, 4 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, such a huge difference. I burnt the living crap out of it the first time because I thought I could do it the same as the rice, and I could not. So pasta tadik has been another one of my white whales, trying to get that to either be crispy or and not burnt, like somewhere in the middle, as it should be. I usually go to one of the other extremes. But same thing. You make your pasta. You toss it with all your goodies, all your sauce and everything, like usually a red sauce with some meat. And then you take it all out. You have your pot. You fill the bottom of the pot with some oil. And then the really boss ladies in Iran, who are amazing, I've seen them on Instagram, they'll do little swirls of pasta in the oil that get crispy. I am not even to that level. What I've been trying to do, the potato tadik, where you take sliced thin slices of potato and make a base, then pile on your pasta, cover it, put it over the high heat, and then let it steam for a very long time. And we'll see. I think I might try that again this weekend. I typically either burn the potatoes or don't quite get them crisp enough. Still delicious. We definitely still eat it, even if it's black.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna try to get it nice and golden brown this week, and I'll let you know how that goes.
That sounds great.
I've had potato tadik before, and it was really exceptional.
Yeah.
And it was one of those where you could put rice on top.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think they had barberries in there and little vermicellis and some lamb broth, and God only knows, but it was unbelievable.
Are the potatoes
good.
Like? par cooked before you layer them in there, or they go in raw 100%?
They go in raw. Mm-hmm. Because it's just like with the rice, which ironically, I don't know how the pasta doesn't turn to mush. It's Persian magic. Mm. You put down your raw Persian potatoes magic. And you put it over that high heat. This one I'm still experimenting with the time, but it's going to be somewhere between like around 10 minutes over the like medium high to try to crisp them. Then you turn it down and you let the whole thing cook for another like 30 minutes, which again, I don't know how it doesn't get mm-hmm. mushy, but it doesn't. It just like gets yeah. the extra moisture out of there. So when you flip it over, you have your nice little crown of crispy potato and little, I love the bits of mm-hmm. the pasta itself, the spaghetti that get crisp and like dark. Just I don't know, I yeah. love a crisp texture. So
texture, it's everything.
That little bit of fried on top of anything is wonderful.
Yeah. Mm. Absolutely. It balances out. I think of it as like what we talk about, like always having like pickle or something acidic to balance out something rich. I feel like anything that's got like a, you know, a softer texture, you want something crunchy to balance it out. Like that's at least for me when I'm cooking at home too, if I'm making a dish out of nothing, you know, it's still, I'm looking for those components, like flavor wise and texture wise and color wise.
Totally.
Even.
And actually on that note, I would love you guys' advice. I'm going to experiment this week with farro bowls for lunch, like something healthier. And I've been trying to think of what to put in them. What I have so far is I'm thinking a little chickpea, some farro, my beloved pickled beets. But what else? What do you guys like to put in your kind of green bowls?
I'm so glad you brought it back to pickles because I, well, no, I went on a little bit of a pickling spree last week and I pickled some blueberries.
What?
Super simple.
Wow.
Yeah, I used a white balsamic because I didn't have champagne vinegar, but they turned out
What did you do? Tell us. Good.
You just, I Googled a recipe and the recipe had champagne vinegar in the recipe. I don't remember the proportions, so I'll look them up for show notes. But I ended up mixing a couple of white balsamics that I had just because I had them and I needed to use them. And well, I guess you don't need to use vinegar, but I needed to use the blueberries. And and then you just, you know, boil it with the sugar and let it cool and pour it over the blueberries. I added some ginger to it and they're really lovely. Mm. So they're nice to dress up on a salad or whatever.
Yeah, that would be great in a grain bowl.
Heck yeah.
I also pickled some soft boiled eggs. So I did the soft boiled the eggs and pickled the soy sauce pickle eggs, which they're so good to add to the salad, right? That's what I've been doing. I could just grab one of those, throw it on my salad, dress the salad. However, it's a nice little protein addition and they're really savory.
How long do they last?
I think online it said up to a week in the fridge, but I think you can go longer because they're pickles. I mean, I've seen...
Well, what do you soak them in? Just soy sauce or...
It's soy sauce, rice vinegar, brown sugar, I'll put a garlic clove in there, a little chili flake, star anise pods. You could do ginger. Like, you could be real flexible with it, but soy sauce pickled eggs because they get so savory tasting. Mm. They're nice and salty.
Do you keep them whole?
Keep them whole. And then if they're soft boiled because they've been in the refrigerator and in that pickling juice, they do firm up and that center is just like the perfect creamiest texture.
Ooh, it's like a custard. Yeah.
It's like the egg you get when you order ramen in a ramen house and they add the soy sauce egg. Mm-hmm. It's like but I eat it with my salad.
I think I might have to try that and throw that on the grain bowl. That sounds delicious. Mm-hmm.
I did something really similar, Maria, not too long ago, I pickled it with beets. So the egg, when you cut through it, you had like a fuchsia, like, you know, edge to the egg, and then it like kind of got lighter and lighter, like this ombre effect going towards the center. But it was really good. Like, it was great in salads. I actually even made like deviled eggs using the pickled egg. And it's not like a intense pickle. It's not like you're eating it like, you know, it doesn't taste like a cucumber pickle or something like that. It just has like a little brightness to it with that creamy center. And it's a great vehicle for pickles on top of the egg.
Pickles on
pickles. You could slice some pickles on top of the pickles. But it would be really good in there.
What do you guys use? Do you have to shove them in a jar? Can you just put them in a bowl?
Yeah. You could put them in a bowl as long as you can cover them with the brine. Yeah.
I used mine in a, I put mine in a jar, and it was just a little ball jar, but I'm going to do your thing, Olivia, where I reuse the juice, because I know you can reuse the juice several times, so.
Yeah, I mean, with an egg, maybe it's a little bit trickier since it's like a, you know, it's not like a vegetable, but you probably could get like a second round.
I think you can get like a second or third batch out of it. Mm-hmm. I didn't dilute this recipe as much as you normally would, because you would normally like half the soy sauce and rice vinegar. So I think I could probably dilute it down a little bit more even and get a little more life out of it.
Nice. But,
I
love
it. As you say, they're not like too heavily seasoned from whatever they're pickled in, but it adds a nice savory.
Yeah, something a little different.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, so I mean,
do like egg salad out of pickled eggs.
Or Sure, why not? Sounds good. I'm trying to think what else I would put in that grain bowl. So we've got something sweet. I guess if you did like a like you said, a pickled blueberry, that's like that sweet and savory. If you don't do a pickled fruit, I personally would probably chop up whatever, you know, seasonal fruit. I've been doing a lot of like plums and nectarines and things like that in my salads. Even when I'm like pairing it with like a mackerel or, you know, salmon on the side, like we've talked about in the past, I like that combination. I know it sounds unusual, but they work. It's just kind of, again, it's just like a balancing of flavors. It's not like you're eating it and being like, this is a plum, this is a nectarine. It's just like there's like a little hit of something sweet, you know, against the savory. But something chopped up like that would be good in a grain bowl. Or if you don't have fresh, we've talked about in the past, like dried fruit, you know, maybe if like apricots dried, you can like chop up into small pieces would be good. You could even pickle those, actually.
Oh man! All right,
cut me to those and pickle those.
Basically, it'll be a pickle bowl, which I'm not at all mad at.
A little Pharaoh. Try some seeds too, because I like the texture, and I love adding some pepitas or sunflower seeds, or even everything but the bagel seasoning.
Well, I have really a ton of seeds because I got obsessed with muesli for a little while, and then I forgot about them and.
Yeah, you need to eat them. They're really good for you, and it's better than like croutons on a salad. But they still add a nice crunch, extra protein, and extra flavor. And you could always do the thing where you kind of, I don't know, do you season them with like a, how do you roast the nuts? You guys know what I'm talking about, like the spice.
Yeah, you can almost candy them, where you toss them with a little honey or
just
something.
Pop them in the oven for a little bit so they have a little bit more flavor to them. I eat seeds all day.
Oh man. Honestly. Well, thanks to you guys. I like have so many ideas now for dinner and lunch, for every meal.
Well, hopefully this will keep us full until season two, right? Because this is our last episode we're wrapping up.
Wow. It's crazy this year. I saw a meme. It said, how is it already, you know, September? Because it feels like March was just 16 years ago.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. I'm excited. We'll come back with some nice, cozy, cozy food recommendations for the cooler weather.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been so fun. Yeah, I've loved this time together with you guys every week and sharing this with our audience, and look forward to coming back with some new exciting material and guests, and maybe we have some surprises. I guess we have to find out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, ladies. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Until next season.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Modern Casserole. You can find our show notes at moderncasserole.com with links, photos, and recipes from this week's episode. Subscribe today on our website and everywhere podcasts are available.